Mr. Barr?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in opposition of this amendment. As stated by a couple people already, if you're consuming two bottles a day of distilled spirits and you want more, I think your intentions are somewhat undesirable as to why you would want more than two bottles of distilled spirits a day. And if you want two more bottles, go to the other vendor and you get another two bottles. So you have four bottles a day. And if you're not planning ahead and you're a piss poor planner because you're running out of alcohol, you know, that's a lot of booze. So going up to five, and so you're allowed to possess 10 bottles of booze, I think your intentions to stock up on that amount of Rotgut R&R or Wolf Schmidt vodka or any other I would be in strong opposition to this amendment, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Vice Mayor Williams.
I look at this amendment as the people that are not breaking the laws, but are law-abiding citizens within our community that don't have issues with liquor, that have the right to go to the liquor store to purchase their liquor. We're stopping those good law-abiding citizens who want to purchase liquor for themselves for a get-together they might have or something else here locally to support their community and say, hey, I want to buy a few bottles of liquor for my get-together. And the council's telling me I'm not a law-abiding citizen, that I can't buy this liquor because of other people's behavior. Is that fair to the law-abiding citizen in this community? To sell it? No, that's not fair to them because other people have the issue? I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about those people that have said, I want to get together with my friends and sit down and have a get-together. We're telling those people, it's better for them to go out of town to purchase their liquor out of town or not purchase any liquor here. So saying, oh, this just two bottles here and two bottles there, we are just singling out the villages and the people outside of our community with this ordinance. That's the issue. And if you go down to the punishment for this, it goes back to the vendors and the vendors getting fined. Or lastly, it doesn't have anything to do with the person who bought this more. You know, what if the person buys more and gets around this? It just goes to the vendor and not to the person. I guess I look at the law-abiding citizens in this community that don't have a problem, that should be treated with respect and dignity compared to the people that have issues. Our community voted to go wet. They voted to go wet now twice. I understand that there's an issue with inebriates in the community, and there's inebriates also that make it a bad situation. But saying that it's just because of those that we need to change the laws, I just feel a totalitarianism by this council to its public. A lot of people come to this state to live free and do what they want and not be told how to live their lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Further discussion?
Just one last thing for me.
Mr. Barr?
Mr. Mayor? Again, just point of clarification is this only addresses distilled spirits. You can drink all the darn beer and wine that you want all day long. It doesn't mean that, you know, and if you drink two bottles of distilled spirits a day, be it a 750 milliliter bottle or a gallon, 2 gallons, you shouldn't be alive. You know, I don't necessarily think that amount of alcohol on a daily basis means that you're going to live too much longer. But again, just for a point of clarification, you can drink all the beer and wine that you want all day long. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Forbes.
I guess I will also say that, you know, Bethel's kind of tumultuous relationship with alcohol has caused a strain on those law-abiding citizens. So, you know, the family that wants to just walk down the boardwalk when it's maybe not so hot, but when it's, you know, sunny out, I've heard from a ton of, you know, young families who don't want to go to our parks because they're afraid that there's going to be a that they're going to be harassed or have to deal with an intoxicated person. And so if anything, I feel this council, by not, you know, making steps for stricter alcohol control, I feel like, you know, we're giving the short end of the deal to those law-abiding citizens that, you know, you don't have a problem with alcohol, but you get to deal with that inebriated person at the park, or you have to deal with that person on their on your porch. I've heard all kinds of stories of people in some of our more like densely populated neighborhoods just showing up to like drunk people on their steps, like they the people they don't know, people that don't live there, this, I don't see it as totalitarianism, and I mean, if that was the case, you know, all public safety, all laws would be totalitarianism. So, anyway, I won't go down that road. But I do think it is important for councils to consider the well-being of the community as a whole. You know, I've heard from tons and tons of young families who don't feel like they can utilize our parks to their fullest extent. You know, we have Pinky's Park is a great park system with a really nice boardwalk. But when AC was at their peak sales, people didn't want to use that boardwalk because that's where intoxicated folks hung out, and you would be there all hours of the night harassing you. And so I think it's kind of obnoxious for this council to say, like, no, we need rights for chronic inebriates, but not people who want to live in a quiet community. And so I think, you know, it's this council should definitely consider keeping this the limit as it's proposed, just 2 bottles a day. Even if you're going to have a get together, I know when I have get togethers, it's usually not something that I just say, oh, it's Friday, 5 o'clock, gonna invite 20 people to my house. Like, it's planned. And so if I was going to buy all the booze here, I could say, okay, I'm going to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, look, I now have 10 bottles of booze for this get together. And so I think that this limit is a good way, because those same law-abiding responsible citizens are generally people who are going to be going to plan out their lives. And so we wouldn't be punishing. Bethel's a tiny little town, and so it's not a big deal if you know you're going to have a ton of people over for, you know, some crazy Super Bowl party. It's not too much for the city to say, yeah, you can't buy 10 bottles of booze at a time. But we're not going to, you know, stop you from stopping there every day after work on your way home to, you know, stock up for your get together. This 2-bottle limit is a good way to stop the people who are consuming in public from having access to large amounts in one given time. You know, we're not saying you can't have a ton of booze at your house. This ordinance is trying to say you can't buy a ton of booze in one transaction. And I think that's the key point here. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Mr. Charles.
Well, going back to the number of alcohol sales, the The reason why I picked five was, you know, it's, if you're against this amendment that I made, the way I look at it, my way of looking at it is, you're in support of the bootleggers. You like the bootleggers. Regardless of any laws that we make, any number of alcohol sales that we make, people are going to get their booze, no matter which way. Either out of town, which is Anchorage, they'll fly in or fly back out, make an order, and lo and behold, all the bootleggers, $50 a pop. Money talks. And for us to, as a government officials, for us to impose a law for law-abiding citizens to tell the residents of City of Bethel, no, we're only going to allow you 2 bottles of distilled spirits a day. That's, to me, right there is breaking the freedom. You know, people are going to do whatever they want, regardless of we make this into a law or not. They're going to buy their booze one way or the other, whether it be bootleggers, whether it be Anchorage sales, and or the local distilleries, or not the distilleries, local liquor stores. That's the way I see it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Further discussion? Mrs. Jung-Jordan.
Thank you. There's a lot about this ordinance that I do like. I really like the public intoxication. Like, I don't like going to Swanson's and seeing people passed out outside, you know, drinking. I don't like my kids to see that. I don't believe that we should. I'm in agreement with the 5-bottle limit. I think that if I wanted to, I should be able to go to the liquor store and buy 3 bottles of tequila if I'm going to have a margarita party. You know, I just feel like that's infringing on your freedom to limit it to 2. I know Bethel has a bad alcohol problem, but I also think that it is from people who have been told it was bad their whole lives and it was forbidden from them. And that's why we're in this predicament today of people who can't handle their liquor. You see people up and down the highway, you know, they've never had it for their whole lives. They were told it was bad. And then when they get it, they can't handle it. So I just don't feel like suppressing alcohol to 2 bottles is, I don't know, I just feel like it's infringing on people's freedom. But there is a lot in here that I do like. I like the security cameras. I think the best thing about this is the public intoxication. Like, we shouldn't have to see that. And then I had a question. I was wondering why it was struck out.
We'll stay on the amendment. You can, okay. Once we get back to the main motion.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah. I don't have anything else.
Thank you, General Jung-Jordan. Any further discussion? Mr. Barr, one final.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I was talking about planning ahead, if you know that you're going to have a party on Friday and it's a Monday, aren't you planning to order it from Anchorage versus going to your local liquor store, you know, 5 times a day? The only thing that this really allows is for bootleggers to purchase large amounts of alcohol at one given time from 2 vendors, so that's twice as much, and then they sell after hours, or they sell on days that the liquor stores aren't open. So if you're planning ahead, and it's still not illegal to order the alcohol from Anchorage, So I can, or you can order your 20 cases of distilled spirits from Anchorage, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the local people can order and buy the 20 cases of distilled spirits locally. It restricts that amount of alcohol for those people that are living and in this delta, because yeah, alcohol is very prevalent in our outlying villages. It is very prevalent. So if we minimize the sale to 2 bottles a day, we help minimize the flow of alcohol to those communities that have banned the liquor from coming into their communities. And it minimizes the devastation alcohol abuse has done to our communities, our sister communities surrounding Bethel. And it's not an infringement on people's freedom, I believe. You still have the freedom to order your 20 cases of distilled spirits from Anchorage or from any other community and having it flown in. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. One last time, Carol Jung-Jordan.
But I just don't understand, why do I have to plan ahead? Like, what if I want to have an impromptu party Friday night? I find out some friends come into town. Why do I have to plan ahead? I just feel like that is infringing on my freedom. Thank you.
Final 30 second.
I guess I'll just say you kind of can't have it both ways. If you want to be able to go to Swanson's without having to deal with drunks, but you want to be able to buy as much booze as you can, like those two just don't work together. And so it's kind of, you have to choose which one do you want. Like, principally, do we want to be able to buy as much booze as we want, or do we want to have fewer instances of public intoxication? And that's our choice here this evening. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. I am always on the fence with these. Mr. Albertson, your last one.
Thanks. Yeah, so I, you know, just a couple of things. You know, I think that any sort of public safety law that we're looking for is going to be a balance between personal freedoms and public safety, you know. And so, you know, I have kids, right, and I think about, well, school zones where we drive, right, and it infringes on my right to drive fast through a school zone, even though I've never hit a child, right? But it still saves children to have a general. That lives together, and as a parent, I mean, I want that. I want my child to be in that situation where people drive a little slower, right, around them, so they're not exposed to that. And so I think that's kind of the point here, is that the you know, there is, all of us in Bethel have an alcohol problem, right? Like, you can't live in Bethel and avoid it, and people want to be able to use. Collectively, you know, in order to have a safe environment, we need to get a handle on alcohol consumption in town. This ordinance looks at open containers, but that's not going to be a cure-all. It's not going to suddenly mean that, you know, all problems are solved. And again, it only really helps where the police are able to enforce anyway. So, I mean, I think this is a very reasonable balance. And again, this was something vendors wanted. They asked for it. So the people running this business, who stand to profit from selling more alcohol, don't think this is a good idea. They don't think that it's right for town either. So I think that's really important to remember, is that folks trying to raise kids in this town, and folks having families, and folks who do, and we've heard from many of them. So I think we can't take too hard a line on personal freedoms. Otherwise, we would have to throw out all of our public safety rules, right? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Mr. Vice Mayor Williams.
Thank you. If we're talking about personal freedoms over enforcement, then how is this council going to have enforcement? That's the biggest question. Because none of this deals with enforcement in the aspect of getting it enforced. There's rules on the book that are not being enforced today by the municipality to its citizens. but they're on the books. Is this just another law that's going to be in place to make us feel happy that's not going to get enforced? That's a question I have. So we give two bottles. Everybody gets two bottles from each distributor in town. That means we're going to then look at marijuana, that you can only buy two joints from every distributor in town because you can't smoke more than two joints a day or you're a stoner. Is that the next law going to be in front? Because stoners aren't productive citizens? The issue, if you're talking about having a good park, is not about alcohol sales, it's about enforcement. Are we doing anything about enforcement? Or are we just talking? That's my issue. I know we have an overworked police department. What are we going to do about the enforcement? I don't see that being an issue by anybody who brought this up. Are we going to demand this being done? Or are we just putting it on the book so it looks nice? That's my biggest question. We can talk all day about how to make it, well, we want better parks. Great, we're going to limit the guy to buy two bottles of liquor because you can't drink more than two bottles a day because then you're a person with an alcohol issue. But I can smoke five joints a day and I'm okay? That's the part that gets a little ridiculous to me. But unless we have enforcement that we're willing to enforce as this body, this is just a piece of paper. And that's my major concern. It doesn't matter the amount that you're willing to sell if it's not being enforced. And I haven't heard that from the sponsors, any how they're going to get it enforced. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. I just, I believe that, you know, it's a good compromise, but I'm still on the fence. I think we do have a serious problem with a certain, you know, fraction of the community. And I think part of the ordinance, if it does pass, will help alleviate some of that burden being the open container. Mrs. Jung Jordan had brought up a point. What about if I wanted to have an impromptu, well, my friends decided to come in this weekend? You know, that's something to think about. Do I think 10 bottles per person a day is too much? It's a freedom. The town did vote to go wet. So no further discussion on the amendment. City Clerk, read the amendment, please.
Sure. It would be to amend under the presented 518.130 subsection B to strike two containers and insert five containers.
Everybody clear? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
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 Amendment passes 4-3 with Councilman Forbes, Albertson, and Barr opposed. Back to the main motion.
Mayor Watson?
Mr. Charles.
I am going back to that amendment. Maybe we could also, probably going to have to be another amendment to that motion to include subsection A, a person may not purchase more than two containers, and strike that and make it into a five also.
Would that carry over, Lori?
No, that would not carry over.
Okay. What page are you looking at?
The same section instead of B.
What page are you looking at?
13. Subsection A.
Okay.
So it would be just to strike the entire section 130.
Okay, so I guess we just strike that and just have A. Strike section A and make B A. Everybody understand that? We're going to strike. Is that your motion? To strike?
Yes.
To strike, a person may not purchase more than two containers of bottles distilled spirits from a single vendor in a day.
No, I don't think that's the issue. I'm looking. Second.
Thank you. Mr. Charles.
No further discussion on this amendment.
Vice Mayor Williams.
No further discussion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
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 Amendment passes 4-3 with oppose in opposition is Councilman Barr, Forbes, and Albertson. Back to the main motion. Mrs. Jung-Jordan.
Thank you. I just had a question on page 13 also, 5.08.150, public possession, item B that's struck out. Open containers are permitted on private residential property with the consent of the owner or legal occupant of the property. I'd like to unstrike that because I feel like people should be able to. Can I amend to unstrike it?
So you're making a motion to amend?
Yeah, to unstrike that.
To unstrike?
Yeah.
Second.
Because I feel like people should.
Okay, so there's a motion to unstrike 5.08150, open communities are permitted on private residential property with the consent of the owner or legal occupant of the property, seconded by Vice Mayor Williams. Mrs. Is there all those in favor? Actually.
I just think that people should be able to drink a beer on their private residential property, which it looks like it, with that being struck out, that means that we wouldn't be able to.
Okay, Vice Mayor Williams.
I concur with Council Member Jim Jordan.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Albertson.
So that was taken out for clarity. No place would it regulate that, and maybe the clerk or the attorney can speak to that more, but in the past we've just run afoul of having multiple definitions and overly complex code. So saying that you can't consume in a public place, we don't need to specifically say you can't consume in your house, you can consume in your house. So it was just additional language that seemed to confuse things.
Any further discussion? I don't see any problem taking that out, but I don't see any problem leaving that in. I think either way it's going to be covered. Public place is clearly defined in the definitions, and it doesn't include private residences. So I don't see the need for that, but I don't have a problem with leaving that in there either. I think it would just be doubling up. Would that, unless the city attorney, is that a correct interpretation?
I'm sorry, you're soft-spoken as well, so I have a hard time.
I try to get closer. I'm under the feeling that item B is covered in the definition of a public place, and that excludes private residents, whether it's on the lawn of their residence.
Correct.
Or on their deck.
This statute or this section only prohibits public. It does not touch private. It leaves your private home right. alone.
Right. So, you know, I think that's covered in the definition of a public, but so I don't think it's necessary to unstrike that, but any further discussion? You can rescind. Any further discussion?
I do want to clarify for the council. So what I'll just simply do is move that section if this motion passes to a subsection C. Okay.
Vice Mayor Williams.
I think with that clarity, I think it would help to anybody with an enforcement of the law that that subsection C would be better understood by the residents that looked at it to understand that the difference between public possession and that their own home. And I think sometimes that needs to be clarified for the lay people of the community that read the law and have understandings of the law.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Further discussion on the amendment. Mr. Albertson?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, amendment passes. 4-3 in opposition, Councilman's Barr, Albertson, and Forbes. Back to the main motion. Vice Mayor Williams.
Question to the city manager. Under the carry, possession, or consumption an open container in public,
what page?
This is page 18 of 19 okay. in the packet. It says first offense is 150, second offense is 300, third is the substantial is $700. So does our CSPs and our CSPs, CSOs get to charge those individuals with that, I guess the best terminology is with, excuse me, I'm going back up, with that citation.
They all come to my office, but I won't be here. I have to screen every single one of them to file amendments. This first, second, and third is an absolute total disaster.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. With regard to your question, individuals would be charged at that first level when they've come in. It could potentially be. I think I would have to defer to the acting police chief with regard to whether or not the CSP can levy that particular
citation.
Yes.
Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
Move to suspend the rules.
Second.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Williams, Councilman Charles, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Albertson?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Acting Police Chief Davies, do you understand the concern or question?
CSPs are, do not write any kind of citations. There's nothing in the grant that allows for that. Our CSOs do write citation for animal control citations. If it's not criminal where there's going to be jail time, then I don't see why they couldn't.
For the, if I may?
Go ahead, Mrs. Burley.
For the most part, because there is no data system in which to keep track, because there is no data system to keep track of first, second, and third, the reason the first, second, and third has been such a disaster is there is no data system. So what happens is they're all charged with the generic number, and if we don't go beyond that, the court automatically defaults them all to a first or kicks them back to us. So we've had to default to where all the citations come into my office. I then spend quite a bit of time researching CourtView to determine if it's a first, second, or third, and then I have to file amended complaints if it's a second or a third. We do this with every dog, loose dog. So it's more work for the defendant, it's more work for the court, it's more work for the police department, and definitely more work for my office. So it isn't like you're going up to the person and charging them with a second or a third, because if they weren't already convicted the first time you cited them, you can't charge them with a second.
Right.
So to answer Vice Mayor Williams' question, a CSO can?
The CSO can, yes.
But a CSP cannot?
Cannot. Correct.
What would happen if a CSP made contact with an individual under, if open liquor does pass, what would be the procedure there? Would he have to call
an officer or a CSO if we have one on? Usually the CSPs don't work at the same time as the CSO, so they'd have to defer to a officer.
And I'm just, what about if there's a long lag time between a sworn officer responding, as is very common here because we are busy. Let's say it's, you know, 1 hour before an officer can come. A CSO cannot detain because there isn't open. I don't know what the procedure is. I really don't. I'm just asking.
I mean, the CSP would probably have to stay on scene with that person until we got there.
They would be detained for a citation.
I mean,
is that what you're?
If you're holding someone there, it is a detention, and they're not able to detain people.
Right, and a CSO.
A CSO is not able to detain people either. They can sit there and write a citation, but they're.
So they could basically just walk away.
Yes.
Does that answer your question, Vice Mayor Mills?
I'm just concerned about the enforcement aspect of this and how we're going to enforce it and how we're going to be able to curb this in our community at a local level with our enforcement agency so that it gets pushed through and gets done so that we have better parks and we have better community and we have a better situation as a whole. But that's my concern with that aspect of it. If does the enforcement. Thank you.
Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To the point, I think that that it's always challenging issuing tickets for various infractions of our municipal code, but it's something that we can do when it needs to be done. As many of you know, I've been involved in EMS service in Bethel for a few years, and I've had many times people that were otherwise healthy and okay at walking around that didn't want an ambulance ride because they're aware that there was a financial responsibility for that, that there was an ambulance fee involved. And so I think that if our police department was able to do a few citations over a period of time, word would get out that that's something that we do. I know that our police department is very judicious with their use of citations and tickets and things of this nature for those fairly severe cases that we find ourselves in and when they have the ability to do so. There's obviously going to be times where CSOs and CSPs cannot get an officer on scene fast enough to either detain somebody or to give them that ticket, and that's okay. It's going to happen. We have major emergencies going on sometimes, but I think that it's incremental. I think it's a culture change for Bethel. Right now, we have pretty much unrestricted public drinking. I think folks have seen that. I don't think that's really debated. And it's going to take time for things to change, and I think that this is just a tool that the city can use to help encourage that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. I want to stay on this acting police chief Davies, staying on this open container We all know that that front street and that beautiful walk is, you know, being basically ruined by intoxicants down there, being belligerent and bothering people. I've walked there and I, you know, I stopped doing that. What would be the procedure if this open container does pass? And I would hope that CSPs, CSOs, and police officers, you know, make the walk, making contact with inebriants, you know, making, checking the welfare and such, and making sure that those law-abiding citizens taking the walk aren't harassed for that time period. I understand you can't be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you, let's say somebody does make contact with an intoxicant, with this open liquor, would they have to see the bottle to enforce it, or would there be a, you know, I suspect that you have a bottle on you. I don't know, maybe in conjunction with the lawyer. I don't know what the procedure would be. My concern is we may be infringing on people's, you know, rights for illegal search and seizure. With that, I don't, you know, that's a concern that I have.
Sure. I mean, we can't just search people.
But if you brought up Mrs. Gustafson, I brought up, we see a bottle, then we could act upon that.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a bottle hanging out of their pocket or something like that. However, there's a lot of times where I know they have a bottle in their arm or in their pants, but it would be illegal to infringe on their civil rights and for us to go and just search someone.
Okay, so you'd basically have to see the bottle.
That's correct.
Or a portion of the bottle.
Yes.
Okay. If I may, it's the plain view doctrine.
Yes, it is.
If it's in plain view.
Right. I had no idea what plain view was, but thank you for that. Mrs. Jung Jordan. Well, they're pretty good anyway, so. Any further questions for the acting chief? We'll probably have more, so. Vice Mayor Williams.
I'll defer to the lady first.
Mrs. Jung Jordan.
What about citizen arrest? Can if I or somebody else see somebody?
Yes, we do citizens arrests. However, for public intoxication, it wouldn't be an arrestable offense. So you could be a witness to the citation when we get there, and you'd have to go to court and such. But yes, you can do that. I'm sorry. I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Vice Mayor Williams.
So the question is, as a former employee of their sobering center, there was people that come into the sobering center and were ensured that they do not have, hopefully, most alcohol on them, but that wouldn't be a chargeable offense of that person walking into the sobering center by the police then?
No. No, I mean, we could write them a citation.
Right, I mean,
because we're taking them under a Title 47 hold.
Right, because then they would be the citation of being placed in the sobering center, and we charge them through that citation of going to the sobering center. But once they're in the sobering center, and the sobering center staff make sure they're safe to go into the sleeping area, and they do find a bottle, there's nothing that Bethel police can really do about it.
No, not necessarily. I think we could still write them a citation as long as that person is willing to be a witness to the citation.
If I can, Mr. Barr, it would be just the same as if someone has taken illegal drugs to YKCC.
Correct.
The drugs are found by DOC personnel, then they call the police back, and the police does their citation or their additional charges.
Additional charges,
and they ask, how come you didn't find it? I'm just kidding. Some good points. Mr. Charles?
I got a question. Going back to the attorney's comments, and about the first, second, and third offenses. What if we made those offenses higher, like $300 or $500 for the first offense? And they'll be like, I don't want to get caught like that again, you know. Then if they don't want to pay, I don't know, let's go after their PFDs for the amount that we need, the city needs.
That's an option. You have anything to say, Mrs. Burley, or that's an option?
That's not my place.
That's an option that the council can and can amend if they want. Mr. Barr?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think one of the problems with this entire ordinance, this entire package, is that it establishes teeth for any violations of this ordinance. But just like the sobering center, if we have repeat offenders, they take that little pink receipt, wad it all up, and throw it in the trash can as they're walking out sober. You know, how many of those are we going to have with violations of this ordinance? How many of those people are going to wad up their little citation after they receive it from the police and throw it away and walk away? So I think we need to establish that, yes, these particular types of issues will be enforced, but we also need to make sure that we have the teeth behind it to make sure that those fines are paid for.
Mrs. Burley.
You do have some teeth. City Manager Foley worked hard with the City Council to put in place PFD garnishments for citations. So there is some teeth, and the city, and I apologize, I think it was with City Manager Williams, put in place an RFP and a contract with a collection agency, and we are seeing the results with the PCs, because suddenly they don't want to be picked up. As with the ambulance, where they have become averse to those free rides because it costs money, we are seeing the same responses out of the PCs. So we are seeing the results of collections.
Thank you, Mrs. Burley. You had, Mrs. Burley, you had mentioned there's difficulty with tracking offenses. I know we had discussed something a few years ago that had the same track. Now, what was the fix for that? I know you have to research and it takes hours.
Not having first, second, and third, but having one rate for everything so that we're not constantly fighting
every
back
offense,
and forth with the courts.
Not first, second, and third, but for every offense.
One
would be
fine.
$500.
Whatever amount.
And that would be the easiest thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was our fix in that one.
It could be whatever dollar amount the city council deems to be appropriate.
Yeah, and I think that would be an amendment that I would actually support, because I do understand it does take some time, some effort. Because if this does pass, I can see hundreds, if not thousands, of citations a year. And to go and look to see if this was the first, second, third, or fourth for everyone would be arduous and painful for whoever's looking at it, whether it be police or our attorney. So I think that was a fix that we had. I forget what it was we were discussing that, but it might have been, you know, water and sewer infractions.
Yeah, it might have been, or taxi company.
Yeah.
Well, we have done it in another section already.
And I think it was a good, thought process to go through that to make it easier with the same amount for every offense, not for a second and third. So I don't know if I'd entertain a motion or anybody want to discuss that. Mr. Forbes.
I think that's a great idea. And so maybe what we could do, so I'm looking at, so some of these we already have flat penalties, and so those are in a good spot. But I'm looking at some of the rest of these. So some of these are on the businesses, so like failure to check identification of the purchaser, first offense is 500, second is 700, third and subsequent are 1,000. And then carrying, possessing, or consuming an open container in public, first is 150, second is 300, third is 700. So maybe what we could do, I guess my, I would move to amend all of our, all penalties on this schedule to just be, if they have multiple penalty amounts, to go with the second amount. So for the second offense, so for carrying, possessing, or consuming an open container in public, there's no first, second, or third, it'd be just $300 because that's the second offense amount, and do that on everything that has a second offense that has multiple amounts. We just choose the middle one. That's my amendment, and it can be amended as
okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Alberts and Mr. Forbes.
It's mainly out of a desire to not sit here and debate with you all how much each fine should be, because I don't want to say I don't care, but I don't care that much. And so I think like the second offense is a nice way to choose like a nice middle ground. We're not going, so like $300 for carrying, possessing, or consuming an open container, it's quite a bit, but it's also not, you know, $700 for a first offense is a little excessive, but $300 is, so that was my rationale, but I'm happy to discuss it further. I just don't want to go line by line and discuss the penalty amount for each of these penalties.
Anybody want to say anything? I think we're pretty much going to have to, if we're going to amend it. I think we're going to have to decide where and what, unless we want to blanket everything with first, second, and third offense. You know, you might.
The intent of my motion was to just take the existing amounts and take the second offense amount. So not set them all the same. So not say that every penalty is worth $300, but so on penalties.
Oh, okay.
That have three amounts, we just take the middle one.
So every offense is going to be the middle one.
Yes.
Whether it's first or second, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then that's the amount. So that way we're not going line by line and saying, okay, should it be? But that way, so we're taking the work that's already been done on this.
I see.
And that. Choosing the middle ground.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Leif?
I do understand that.
Okay.
I think that's fine. I do have a question, though.
Yes, sir.
And for the clerk, is that going to require another public hearing to change those as well? Since that wasn't something that we talked about earlier.
That is a great question, and my response will most often be yes. Let's have another public hearing if it's changing the ordinance substantially, and this is doing that. So, yes, I would recommend a public hearing.
That's a good point, Mr. Robertson. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for catching that, Councilman Robertson.
So, hearing that, I guess the if this amendment does pass, we'll go ahead and continue and then table it till the next meeting, whether it would be another public hearing.
That is correct.
Okay, that would be the procedure. Did you catch that, Mr. Albertson? I don't know if I'm speaking loud enough.
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, I got it. Another public hearing.
Hearing none, all those in favor? The amendment signified by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Mr. Barr, did you say aye?
I said aye.
Okay, amendment passes 5-2 with Vice Mayor Williams and Carol Jung Jordan in opposition.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Forbes.
Since this is going to result in another public hearing, and just out of an abundance of fairness, I'd move to amend the effective date to August 15th instead of August 1st.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Mr. Forbes?
Just we're going to push back our vote on this 2 weeks. We might as well tack on 2 weeks the effective date.
Mr. Albertson?
No, I think we're supposed to do that have a reasonable amount of time before a law goes into effect.
Okay. Further discussion? All right, here none. All those in favor of the amendment of pushing the effective date to August 15th, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, amendment passes 6-1 with Vice Mayor Williams in opposition. Okay, back to the main motion.
I guess, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Forbes?
I guess if there's nothing nothing else, would it be appropriate to move to table or postpone this to our next meeting for another public hearing?
Unless there is any further discussion on this.
I have one.
Mr. Charles?
Got a quick question for Mr. Councilman Albertson on the hours of operation. Why move the hours back from 2 p.m. to, I'm trying to find that page, to a later time instead of noon to 8 p.m.? Why go later day, like 2 p.m. to 11 p.m., I believe?
2 to 10.
Or 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the hours are good the way I see it.
It's page 19, the first B. I'll read other retail premises licenses under AS04-11.080 and strike shall close and ads may be open for the sale of alcohol beverages between the hours of deleted as 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. I think that's the point you're talking about.
Mr. Robertson?
I'd just say that part of that was a request from the operating vendor. So there was a discussion that happened when I wasn't there at the task force meeting. Maybe you were mayor about that, and the vendor suggested that by shifting hours to later in the afternoon, it would have there would be perhaps less of a interaction between inebriates near the seawall and operating businesses because it's less of the business day. As I said, I'm not. So it was something that he committed to being supportive, I guess. But I don't want to, I guess I want to be cautious about not putting words in anyone's mouth. I was also on the other end, I heard certainly requests from people asking to have it closed earlier. Many people I heard, you know, from, hey, if it's going to be open for 8 hours, why don't you close it at 5? So, you know, so that there's not people drinking all night. This was, it seemed like what the vendor suggested for shortening hours. And I think it also, hours of operation for AC. I'm not sure about that. I wasn't at that meeting either.
Yes.
Yeah, I was in a meeting where the vendor did mention that, and it would and it Ms. Duffson brought up a good point. She wants to go home and have a good lunch hour without, you know, running to a bunch of intoxicants or people lining up at the liquor store. I think that was one of the reasons. Limiting, you know, access to alcohol for, you know, chronic users. And relieving some of that, you know, stress caused to property owners and business owners around the store, you know, for those early morning hours and, you know, through the late lunches. I think that was one of the main reasons. So, yes, sir. Any further discussion? Vice Mayor Williams.
Just a point of clarification under 5.08.08, hours and daily operations premises licensed under AS04-11.080, is that talking about restaurants, and B is talking about liquor stores? I'm confused and just want to clarify between the differences.
I guess I interpret it as both, Vice Mayor Williams, restaurants and, because they're all licensed.
Well, Mr. Mayor, what does B stand for?
Well, so A says premises licensed for the service and consumption of alcoholic beverages. Obviously, the liquor stores generally don't like it when you open the product you bought and drink it on site. And so I believe, and we can double check the state definitions of that 4.11.08. 080, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, that A is for bars and B is for other retail premises, so package store licenses, as the state would call it.
So if we're concerned about inebriates, we want to have places where people consume alcohol open longer than places where they buy alcohol. Or should that be all combined into one?
What is your question, Vice Mayor Williams?
So I'll make the amendment to combine A and B into the one with the same hours of opening from 2 p.m. until 10 p.m. So that item A, premises allowing under the same statute, that all premises in the city of Bethel will be open from 2 p.m. till 10 p.m. each day.
Okay, we have an amendment. Is there a second? We have amendment to 5.08080. Is there a second? The amendment would be to change under 5.08080 to mirror B, the hours, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., instead of having it from 1 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Wonder if maybe you wanted me to repeat what I interpret the motion to be?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it'd be to amend 5.08.080 hours and days of operation to strike subsection A and subsection B and have a new subsection A to state premises licensed under Alaska Statute 04-11-080 may be open for the sale of alcoholic beverages between the hours of 2 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Correct.
Set. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, good. Yeah. Is there a second? Seconded for discussion. Thank you, Mrs. Jung-Jordan. Mr. Vice Mayor Williams.
I just think that having every establishment under the same code concerning sales and times of sales of alcohol beverages in our community is a good thing to have.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Forbes.
So I guess I would interpret that to mean that would cover restaurants that have restaurant or eating place licenses. So if this passes effective August 15th, we'd be telling Feely's and anyone else that would be looking for a restaurant or eating place license in the future that they have to close at 10 p.m. 10 p.m. every night,
yep.
Which I guess I don't think is very necessary. I don't think it's I don't see confusion in the code. It calls out all other retail premises, which the Alaska statutes spell out license types very clearly about what each license type is allowed to do. And so if we want to come back to personal freedoms, you're going to tell me that I can't be at Feely's at 10:30 on a Friday night. And so I think, you know, this allows for some flexibility in because obviously going to a restaurant or eating place and purchasing a beverage for consumption on site is a lot different than being able to go to a liquor store at 2 a.m. And purchase five bottles of liquor. So I wouldn't support this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Mrs. Jung-Jordan?
Yeah, I actually don't believe that we should be limiting the time of operation for the restaurant, but I also don't agree with the 10 p.m. closing time of the liquor store. I think that's a little bit late in the day, and I think that leaves more time for people for, like, vandalism. And I know it's not the business's job to be babysitting people, but I've been at First National, and they've, you know, they really watch their facility. And I think that that leaves more time where nobody's there to kind of monitor the place of business. I don't know. I just think 10 p.m. is a little bit late, and people do crazy stuff at night, you know. So. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Mrs. Jung-Jordan. Further discussion on the amendment. I also feel if somebody wants to go for a late dinner at 10:30 and have a beer, we shouldn't say, no, you can't do that, or a beer or two and take a cab. So any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
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 Amendment fails 6-1 with Mr. Vice Mayor Williams in favor of the amendment. All opposed, remaining members. For discussion on the main motion.
Mayor.
Mr. Charles.
I'd like to make amendment on subsection B on page 9, where it says they may be open for the sale of alcoholic beverages between the hours of
2 p.m. and 10 p.m.?
No.
You want to go back to the old language.
What is your amendment?
Amendment from hours of 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Keep the hours that we already have.
The hours that we have, and I think that's a typo, is 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. is what's currently on the books. Is that correct, Ms. Strickler?
So the way that it's current law allows or would require the vendors to be closed between 11 p.m. and 10 p.m. Or excuse me, a.m.
11 a.m. and 10.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. and
no. 11 p.m.
11 p.m.
a.m. Sorry, they would have to be closed during that time period, only okay. Allowing for the operation to be after 11 a.m.
Right.
And to close by 10:15.
Right.
They get to open right now. They get to open at 11 a.m. and stay open until 11 p.m.
Right.
Right.
It's written in the negative right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Super confusing.
Yes, it's written in the negative instead of in the positive.
Yeah.
So right
that,
now,
that confused me for
the way it's written right now, because it's written in the negative, they're allowed to be open from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m.
And what was your amendment?
To keep the same hours that we have right now from 12 noon to 8 p.m.
Those are not our hours.
Those are not the hours.
Our hours right now are 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Our hours are
To me, you're suggesting, oh, Mr. Mayor, if I, so you're suggesting to me what Caribou Traders currently does.
Yes.
That's what Caribou Traders' current hours are.
Yes.
That's not on the books. They decided to do that themselves. But we need a second. Can we get a second for that?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay, now we can discuss it. I apologize, guys.
Well, my biggest reasoning to change it, because like Councilwoman Jordan said, you know, keeping the liquor store open at 10 p.m., you know, that opens up a new can of worms out there for vandalism and more intoxication in the seawall at 10 p.m., right at freeze-up. And lo and behold, somebody falls through that thin ice at the water's edge. You know, that plays a big role. 10 p.m., here in Bethel in August and September, that's dark. So leaving it open that late is a huge issue for me. You know, close it earlier, open it earlier. You know, we can't have everything both ways the way we want. You know, it's all for the safety of the citizens of Bethel. During the daylight hours, it's going to be open. Majority of the time. The shortest day of the year is, it gets pretty dark at 6:30 p.m. So majority of the time when the liquor store is open will be daylight hours or twilight hours at least. So that's my huge reasoning.
Mrs. John Jordan? Further discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Forbes.
I'd move to amend the amendment change the time back to 2 so that the hours would read 2 to 8 p.m. Instead of noon.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes.
I think Ms. Gustafson brought up a really good point about traffic, you know, living near a liquor store. I do not live near a liquor store, but living near a liquor store and coming home during lunch hour, things like that. And so trying to isolate as much as possible the like, I guess, riffraff that comes with a liquor store. I think this ordinance does a good job of doing that. And so reducing the hours from bring it back to 2, so 2 to 8, that's 6 hours, one, I mean, that's better staff cost for an operator, but also that way it keeps, requires people to get in that window, and I think that's a reasonable amount of time, so that's all.
This is Jim Jordan.
Somebody's, you know, that's somebody's job, you know, and if they're working an 8-hour job, I think that's not fair. I'd be in favor of changing the time from, I guess, I mean, if we have to.
We'll just stay on this one.
Yeah.
So we're on the secondary amendment from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the secondary amendment, does everybody understand what the secondary amendment is? I confuse myself sometimes. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Nay.
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 Secondary amendment fails 5-2. Councilman Forbes and Albertson in opposition. Back to them. Amendment. And the amendment was from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Lori?
Yeah, I'm actually confused on who voted which way on the last one. It was Councilmember Forbes and Councilmember Albertson.
In opposition.
In opposition.
Thank you. Back to the amendment. from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. That was your amendment, right?
Yeah, that last motion, secondary amendment, was Councilmember Albertson and Forbes were in favor.
Yeah, we were in support.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Thank you for that. Any discussion on the amendment? I still have a problem with doing it at 12, knowing that's lunchtime and, you know, establishments and people that live in the area want to go home and have a quiet lunch hour. When later on we know that it's basically going to become a free-for-all down there, wherever the liquor store is going to be. It's been common that, you know, the surrounding area, whether it be a wooded area or abandoned structures or whatever, they do attract, you know, a certain population. So I don't favor open, you know, allowing it at noon for that reason. So any further discussion? Mr. Barr.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think to prolong the discussion, I think we need to make an amendment to, as a compromise, to open up the liquor store at 1 and close at 9. I think that meets everybody's wishes of opening later and closing a little bit early. That is my amendment. Yes, Your Honor.
Is there a second? Thank you, Mrs. Young-Jordan. Mr. Barr. Now you can discuss your reasoning.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think we have beaten several horses tonight on this same topic, and I think it's because we'll have another public hearing and another chance to debate this wonderful great ordinance that is taking up two-thirds of our meeting time already. I think we need to come to some compromise and say that let's open up at 1 and close at 9. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Carol, Mrs. Young-Jordan?
I was going to suggest that very same thing, so I think that makes more sense.
Fair enough. Any further discussion? All righty. All those in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
To the amendment.
The secondary amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so the amendment passes 6-1 with Councilman Albertson in opposition. Just a minute.
Where are we at, Lori?
We are back to the primary amendment, which would be to have the liquor stores open from
1 to 9.
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion on the primary amendment? I think we discussed that. Mr. Barr?
Death.
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the primary amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the amendment passes. Back to the main motion. Last chance. Any further discussion before somebody would make a motion to
table it until the next meeting? I'll move on that.
Okay. So we have a motion to table the ordinance till the next meeting. There is a second. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, is this a tabling or a postponement?
Postponing. Till the next meeting. Any further discussion? Lori, what did I do? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of postponing till the next meeting, this ordinance, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so the motion carries to table 6-1 with Vice Mayor Williams in opposition.
Brief at ease.
Oh, thank you. I will cause a 5-minute brief at ease. Thanks. About to time that.